Next Chapter Podcasts.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Thick Skin with Jock and Hawk. I'm Jock Jones.
And I'm LaTroy Hawkins.
This show is called Thick Skin because you have to have thick skin to be in the spotlight. Whether you're a professional athlete like Hawk and myself who played in the bigs, or you're an entertainer, the media will come after you.
So you better be ready. We're here to tell it like it is, correcting the media when they get it wrong, and they do get it wrong, and dive deep into the world of sports, all sports and entertainment from an athlete's perspective.
We got a great show for you here today. Make sure you subscribe and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, let's get started.
We got a very special guest today on the Thick Skin with Jock and Hawk. A five-time Gold Glove winner. I mean, nine-time Gold Glove winner. Yeah, five-time All-Star. Don't you ever say that again. Sorry about that. Two-time Silver Slugger. A career 277 hitter, parts of 19 years in the major leagues, hailing from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
Don't you ever freaking say Arkansas again.
That's one of the best center fielders.
It's Arkansas. It's Arkansas. Don't say Arkansas because I ain't nothing got nothing to do with Kansas City. Kansas City got nothing to do with me.
Tory. Kedar Hunter, one of the best center fielders to ever
play the game.
Wow. Our buddy, our good friend, our brother from another mother.
Our brother.
Victoria, you've been retired 8 years now.
Real tired.
And I know that because you and I retired at the same time.
Yeah, we were real tired of baseball. We didn't retire. We were real tired.
We were real tired. And we always when people talk about, you know, when did you know it was time to retire? And I always tell people, I never wanted to go have that conversation with a general manager for him to tell me I wasn't good enough. So you and I did it different than everybody else. We gave them the uniform back. They didn't take it from us. Mm-hmm. So I always mention you when I talk about retirement, we did it that way. But what was part of your decision to retire when you did?
Man, you know what? I'll never forget, my kids say, they went to college and we were empty nesters. My wife is with me full time now. And she came to me one day and she was like, man, I notice every time you go to the stadium, you always say, I got to go into work. Like I never use the word work or I always use like, I'm going to the stadium. I'm going to the field or whatever it may be. But to use the word work, you know, was a trigger for her. And she's like, why are you using this word work? You know, because baseball has never been work for me. It's always been like, I'm going to the stadium. I'm going to the field. I'm going to the stadium to play this game, you know, and it was fun for me, you know, and it got to a point where it became mentally, you know, to a point where my mind was drained. And once your mind leaves you, your body is not too far behind. And so it's got to a point where, you know, where I was calling it work. And when you call it work, it's, you know, it becomes something that you really don't want to do. I mean, we all work. We all work hard. We all do what we have to do. But at the same time, you call it work and not just what you do, it becomes something different. Once my wife came to me and told me, you keep saying work. I'm going to the job. I'm going to do something. She was like, this is not normal. I'm used to saying, you saying, I'm going to the stadium. I'm going to the field. And once I started talking about work, I knew it was over. And your body is not too far behind. And I start feeling it. And it wasn't nice. When you have your butt cheek lock up while you're walking up the steps, you can't walk up steps at your home, in your home, you know, after a game.
Right.
I'm walking up the steps to go to bed. And you're like, oh my God, I locked up, you know, and I'm 40 years old and there's no way your body should be locking up unless you, you know, your mind is following. Just to hear guys, talk about like when I walk in a room in the kitchen or in a different room, in a video game room or whatever, and they say, oh, Tori's coming. It's like, damn.
They can hear you coming.
I'm 40 years old now. Like, Tori's coming. Don't say nothing crazy because he's a little older and we got to respect him. You know, I'm always the one that.
Inappropriate.
That was very inappropriate. And I was the one that had the parties. I had the fun. I took guys out. We had good times. And it got to a point where, oh, Tori's coming. It was so much respect amongst these young guys that's when I knew, hold on, wait a minute. You know, these guys are the same age as my son. My sons are 21, playing football at Notre Dame, playing football at Arkansas State, Riverside, California. They're in college playing football, but they're the same age as my son.
Right.
And that's when I knew, okay, I'm getting a little older. I still have fun. I still enjoyed it, but my mind left me first before my body. And once your mind leave you, doesn't matter.
So, Tori, you just mentioned about leadership and guys looking up to you and realizing, you know, hey, my time is winding down and these kids behind me are the same age as my son. Can you? I'm going to read two quotes from two different players that shows how much they appreciated what you did, right? It's a quote from Howie Kendrick. Howie Kendrick said, Torrey Hunter and Bobby Abreu, the ranking veterans within the clubhouse would pull aside young players when they botched the play and forgot the play, or forgot the fundamentals. Torrey talks to everyone in the locker room, whether it's pitchers, catchers, infielders, outfielders, whoever it is. These guys, they've done it. You've seen their success. Why would we not look up to those guys? Howie Kendrick. Another quote from Mike Trout, one of the game superstars. Torrey taught me so much about the game, about life, and about how to handle yourself as a professional. I was lucky to have him as a teammate and have his locker next to mine so I can ask him all these questions and learn so much about the game from him. What does that mean to you to hear some of your younger peers speak to the media or whoever about your leadership?
Wow. I mean, you're talking about two really good guys. Howie Kendrick, World Series championship, you know, maybe the MVP with the Nationals. He has some big hits with the Nationals. Mike Trout, one of the best players that ever played a game. To say, you know, I had an impact in their lives. I mean, you look at what they do, they don't have to say that, you know, for them to say that, I'm very thankful and grateful because I care about my teammates more than I cared about my success. You know, I can be 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts. I cared about how you feel. How are you? You good? How's the family? You know, I remember a guy named Rick Smith. He's a trainer for the Angels. And he was like, remember, Smitty is something different. He's a different guy. I mean, you got to know him to understand who he is, but I love him to death. And he came to me. He was like, hey, I love what you do. And I'm like, you know, he was talking about my talent. I'm like, yeah, God blessed me to, you know, to run, throw, hit, you know, all those things. He's like, no. That's not what I'm talking about. You got a gift. Like, what you do with players, you sit down and you get to know them, you know, as if they've known you for 30 years, but they've known you for 30 minutes. And they got a chance to realize they've never known me that long. But they listen to me and they listen to what I have to say. And I never thought about it. Smitty was like, bro, that's a gift. That's something that no one can fire you from. Nope. No one can retire you from. Nope. That's something that all goes into the day you die.
Never gets a day off.
A talent, it gets old. It dies. Different things like that. But a gift, it never dies. You can't fire me. You can't retire me. It's always something that's ongoing. And that's something that I realized. I was 31 years old and I was doing this thing since I was young, since high school. And I never thought about it. And so I kind of fell into it and tried to, you know, I told myself, look, I'm a fall into my gift and use it and know that I have it. Mm-hmm. And I really utilized it. I really used it. And before you know it, you had 19 years in the major leagues. Because I didn't know this until I was 13 years, 12 years in the major leagues. And I might have got 5 more years in because I used my gift.
Right. Talked about that the other day.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to use your gift. And that actually makes room for you.
Right.
And you actually last longer because people will pay you for your gift. Yep. You know, I never seen a tree eat its own fruit. You know, and when the tree eat its own fruit, you better run because that's weird. Right. And it's a lot of people. it's a lot of people today in America, in the world that says it's about me. Me and mine, I think are destruction. Right. And I think we're to that point where we think about me and mines. And those are words that actually destroy everything. That's a tree eating its own fruit. That's a tree with a mouth. Who eats his own fruit? No, every fruit that's eaten from any tree has been picked from someone else.
Oh, right.
And we all are our seeds. We all are tree trunks. We all are trees that actually bear fruit for all of us to eat from and pick from.
Right.
So, I think we're to a point where we do that. And I've learned that I have to use my gift, and my gift is not for me. It's for someone else to pick from. And once you have a gift and you understand what you're doing in this life, you become valuable to someone else's problem. You become a solution to someone else's problem. Then you become a tree that bears fruit that people pick from. And that's the most powerful thing you can do. Me and mines are destruction. They're destroyers. And I think that's what we are. Not just in sports. We talk about real life situations with our kids today.
Yep.
They care about them. Me and mine. Bad situation.
Well, that was us when we were younger.
For sure.
Because we couldn't look outside of ourselves.
We didn't know any better.
We didn't know any better. We couldn't. But how much of an impact did Kirby Puckett have on your career? Because, and I'm a couple years younger than you two, so I know getting there, actually having a chance to play with Kirby, and Kirby being exactly like you and I and everybody in our little group, we've never met a stranger, and we make everybody feel welcome. Like how Howie Kendrick talked about you, how Trout, that is a gift. But I think it helps. I think having somebody in the clubhouse when you get there to help you continue to give your gift, I think that's powerful because Kirby was that for us.
You know, and it's the same thing what I was talking about, you know, a tree that eats its own fruit. It's the same thing with mentorship, you know, right? I did this all by myself. No, you didn't. There's always somebody there along the way that's did it before you and never had said any words. Actually, you saw what they were doing and you go, wow, I like that. Kirby Puckett was the guy for all of us, all three of us that walked in the clubhouse and knew the security guy's name.
Yes.
He knew the usher's name. He knew people parking lot attendants. No one really knew these people, but Kirby knew their name. Right. And we go, wow, this dude know names of people. And he take them to dinner. He take them to supper or breakfast. So I'll be like, wow, this dude is unbelievable. So you see those things from a guy you respect and you love, and you take on those
qualities.
Yeah. Right. And you say, you know what? I like that. I like those qualities. That's who I was. But for him, he advanced me. He made me better. Cause I watched him and I saw a guy I respected that played the game of baseball, was an African American player who from Chicago, the south side of Chicago, from the streets, just like I'm from the streets. And he actually did something. He broke the code, right?
Yep.
He kind of found that cheat code like we do in the video game. We found a cheat code to actually go on to success. And he actually did that. And so for me as a young guy who's 18, 19 years old to see Kirby Puckett, who knew people's names that you would think that you wouldn't know their names. He knew their names. He called them out and say, you are valuable. You are loved and I see you. Okay. I have no choice, but because that's my mentor, I'm going to look at a guy like that and say, this is what I want to do. And I already had that heart, but he actually made me a better player, person. And I cared about people who, you know, in some places, in some spaces, you actually see people will say they're beneath me.
Right.
Kirby will say they're above me.
Yep.
That's great leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And that's somebody that I looked up to, and that's somebody that I emulated, and imitated my whole career.
We got the philosopher here on the Thick Skin Show with Jock and Hawk, Mr. Torrey Hunter.
I smoked marijuana when I was younger.
So just to further Kirby's mentorship to you, I know he made all of us a better player, a better person, better family man, better father, because he loved his two kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can you speak to these people and tell them about the envelope situation when Kirby told you grab his envelope out of the player's box?
It's amazing, man, because I'm 18 years old. I'm in Major League Camp in 1994. And I'm this 18-year-old kid between Dave Winfield was on my left and Kirby Puck is on my right. And Kirby says, he came in at 6 a.m. in the morning. I'm there early. You know, rookies, we got there.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it yesterday.
We're going to be there early. You know, you're not going to see me late, and I'm going to go hard. And, I knew I wasn't going to make the squad at 18 years old, but I'm going to give you a good showing. You're going to be like, wow, this dude is serious.
Right.
And Kirby comes walking in at 6 a.m. in Winfield, and Kirby says, something's in my eye, you know? And I'm like, man, what's in your eye? He said, open his envelope for me. And I'm like, okay, I'll open it. I open it up and it says $496,000. I'm like, oh my God, you make this much money a year? He said, no, young puck, I make this every freaking 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't believe that he made this every 2 weeks. And the next thing you know, the next morning, I'm up at 6 a.m. I'm in a batting cage, hitting off the tee, working on my swing or whatever. He has slide shorts on and sandals on, and he had his coffee early that morning. He was probably watching me in the dark.
He was probably drinking a Coke, eating a Snickers.
He probably was eating a Snickers and drinking a Coke, because it didn't have steam in the cup. It was like very cold. And he said, he's like, I knew I'd catch you out here, young puck, right?
Yeah.
And I'm out there hitting the ball like, man, I got to get to the big leagues. I'm trying to make the money you making, you know? And it's crazy because he did that to let me see what's there and available for you if you put in the work. Like, you can't get this unless you put in the work. Kirby already put in the work. That's why he got what he got.
Right.
You don't get this for no reason.
Right. The carrot out there for you.
We dangled that carrot in front of me, and I was like, wow, look at that carrot, and I chased it. And some people won't chase carrots, you know. And I thank Kirby for doing that. It sounds cocky. It sounds bold. It is not. It's something that people need to see, man. Look, at the end of the day, your money problems is your problem.
Yep.
Like, you have issues, it's because of your money problems. Mm-hmm. You got issues. You can't pay your rent. You can't pay your bills. You can't feed your family. You can't feed no one else. You can't do anything unless you have funds.
Right.
Right. And so Kirby showed me something that I can do to feed and food, shelter, and clothing with other people with the money that he was making. If I make that kind of money, I can change people's lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so I saw that and I knew the value behind it. And I'm like, man, I got to make it to the league. It helped me see something bigger. You know, I knew what I wanted to do, but at the same time, it was bigger than me.
Right.
And I saw bigger than me when he showed me that. And now here you go. I'm a veteran guy. Here I am showing Howie Kendrick. I'm showing Jared Weaver. I'm showing Mike Trout. I'm showing Joe Mauer. I'm showing all these people. And I'm giving them my check every 2 weeks and saying, this is what I make. And they're like, man, you make that every year? No, bro, I make that every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know? And they're like, wow. You know, it's not the greed.
Yep.
It's what you can do with it, you know? You can change people's lives. You can change your family's life. You can change your bloodline. You can change your great grandkids. They can have something. And that's a blessing, man, to do those things. And so I thank Kirby Puckett, man, for what he's done for me. The motivation, the drive, the fight that he's given me, with something so different, an envelope.
Hmm.
an envelope showing me his paycheck changed my career.
All right. So we're out here. You talked about impacting lives, and we're out here in Vegas. Every year we come out the 1st of December with our charity. You're on the board. I'm on the board of a foundation, Still Got Game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we donate a lot of money. We raise a lot of money. We donate a lot of money. What does that mean to you? I know you from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. You have your own foundation
mm-hmm.
where you help people in your city. What is that being able to give back to different communities? What does that mean to you?
You know what? We all have where we're from. We all do good work, right? We do great works where we're from. But it's a great opportunity to have Griffey and Lofton and Jock Jones and Latroy Hawkins and Eddie Guardado and, you know, all these guys, Shane Victorino. We got a lot of guys who, Abba Pujols, you know, he's here. And, we have a lot of guys that come together and say, hey, we still got game. Yeah, it might not be on the field, but we actually doing things off the field to change the game for people's lives. And, so we do financial literacy. We still got game. You know, you're talking about, like I said, at the end of the day, you know, they say the root of all evil is money, right? The love of money. And it is. The love of money is. If we can change your mindset and give you a different perspective on money, we actually change your life, because most of our issues, the root of it is money. So we actually teach financial literacy and understanding that financial literacy, probably 80% emotional. You know, it's not just mathematics, because we all went through math in school. But why do we go broke? So if we can teach you about emotional issues on money, you know, check your emotions, you check the money. And I think that's another thing. We also use baseball to get scholarships. We also use baseball to change our lives and give us discipline and give us understanding of failure and different things like that. And that's something that we do with our baseball camps and all over the country. We actually change people's perspective on failure, because failure actually teach you a lot. You know, fail, you don't have to be a failure. You actually can have failure to teach you a lesson, opposed to having failure teach you and make you a prisoner. You know, we choose to make it a schooling opposed to a prison. So, yeah, I mean, Still Got Game means like, look, we're not on the field anymore, but we also, we're doing it off the field now. And we still got game, because we're doing different things and changing the game in the world. And I think that's what Still Got Game stands for.
So, Tory, we've both known you since 1996. Mm-hmm. Latroy probably a couple.
93 couple, for Latroy.
Latroy probably mm-hmm. since 1993. Yeah. 20-year baseball career, countless, you know, handful of teams you played for. We talked about retirement earlier. What are you doing post-baseball that makes Tory Hunter smile, makes Tory Hunter happy? Can you let the people know what ventures, what foundations, other charities you're involved with? Because I've watched you, we're so tight, like brothers, you know what I'm saying? So I've watched you just transition from a baseball player, great person, to be a hell of a businessman and a family man.
Man, you know what? Man, I've been knowing you brothers, man, since we were 17 years old,
yep.
You know, and, yep. And, my whole life, and you're definitely my brothers. You're more powerful than my brothers I grew up with. So I definitely have to say, man, you know what? We've been blessed to be a blessing to others. We still have work to do. We still have to make a difference. And, you know, with the experience that we have in life, the people that we met in life all over the world, not just one local area. We've met people all over the country, the world, and we made good money. So our whole thing is not about us. It's not about us. It's about, for me, my whole dream was to have a business that actually has jobs created, that actually have people that get a check from me, that actually have food, shelter, and clothing. Mm-hmm. So if I can create spaces, jobs that has a space where people get employed or become my team members and they have food, shelter, and clothes, there's nothing more powerful than doing that. Baseball allowed me to do that. I mean, I played this game of baseball. I went through what I went through. But that's like part of my chapter. right? Yeah. That's my part of my story. The whole story, the whole dream, the whole purpose in life is to create food, shelter, and clothing. And when you create jobs and businesses, you actually create food, shelter, and clothing. That's the most powerful thing you can do in the world. And baseball allowed me to do that. And God allowed me to do that. I am a man of faith, and I would never deny that, you know, and I believe that, you know, Jesus, I believe that God actually allowed me to go out and play this game of baseball and meet people and learn so much about failure and make adjustments on failure, make adjustments on anything in life. The hardest thing I ever did was play the game of baseball. Every time I start a business, I do a business, I go, what's the adjustment? You know, I got to face Roger Clemens in 30 minutes. He struck me out. But I'm about to face him again, so I better make this adjustment. If I don't, someone's going to steal my job. Well, it's the same thing in business. You know, you face a situation, it's a Roger Clemens situation. If you don't make this adjustment, I promise you, you're going to be out of business.
Right.
So all I know is to make the adjustment, and I'm cool with it. If I can create food, shelter, and clothing, I think God put me in a position and put us in a position where we can change people's lives, and we have to be obedient. Delayed disobedience is still disobedience. Do what you have to do.
So we're going to one more question and we're going to start to wind it up. The best joke that you played on somebody or they played on you. It could be appropriate. It could be inappropriate.
Yeah.
But we want to hear it. We had Eddie on yesterday. Told a couple, two really good ones that the bullpen guys snuck into his house
with yeah.
speakers and video and did the clown
that
thing.
Was hilarious. Oh,
and
boy.
Then I told about when I put the glitter in his vents in his rental car and the sardines. So you give us one good one.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think that might be the best one I ever seen. I'm 40 years old. I came back to the Minnesota Twins in 2015, and Eddie Godado was the bench coach. I mean, the bullpen coach.
Yeah.
For the Twins, and he was my teammate forever.
Yep.
And I came back as a player at 40 years old, and now he's a coach. And these young guys snuck in his house and broke in his house while he was asleep. And it was like a ghost in his home. And I swear he tried to shoot everybody in there. I'm like, he's going to kill our team. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever that Eddie Godado wanted to hurt the ball club. And he was scared. It was just that he was sleeping in his house, in his apartment by himself, and the guys broke in there and had ghost situations. And Eddie don't believe in ghosts, so he tried to kill the ghost. And it happened to be our players, our bullpen guys. And so that was actually pretty funny, but it wasn't because somebody could have really died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie might be the funniest teammate I ever had. David Ortiz probably up there he's probably 1B.
Yeah, 1B.
1B. Eddie is probably 1A because his favorite moment ever in our career was a shower. Like, why would the shower be your favorite situation?
Uh-oh.
I don't get it. Like, no one should ever have a favorite time as a shower. I mean, it was weird. I felt like I was in prison. And I know what prisoners feel like because Eddie was that guy who said shower check. And I don't believe in shower checks. But when you play Minnesota Twins, you're going to believe in it because Eddie's going to make you.
Not everybody. He only picked on some people.
He picked on people who believed in it.
Okay. Did he pick on you? Okay. We kind of went left with that. But
the best joke
that you played on somebody or they did to you?
Man, I didn't play too many jokes, man. I actually laughed at a lot of jokes. I didn't play too
many. Funniest
teammate I ever had. Funniest teammate. You know what? It wasn't even a teammate. It was actually a coach. My funniest teammate was Jerry White.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it.
Oh.
Jerry White might have been the funniest human being I ever been a part of. He's my coach.
He didn't even know it.
He had no idea that he's the funniest. I'll never forget the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee. And guys got a key early. We flew into Milwaukee, and they get the key, and they go in his room and use soap right? So you get, you wet the soap and you get it with your finger, index finger, and you write help on the mirror. Okay. So when you take a shower, the steam actually shows help me, right? So we wrote help me on the mirror, and he took a shower that next morning and they said help me. And the fisher was known for being hunted. So he, he actually, we did that, and he actually moved out of the hotel and went to another hotel. I thought that was the funniest thing in the world. He had a lot of funny situations.
J-Dub was scary anyway. Yeah.
Like, J-Dub was scared of everything.
He was a nervous fella.
So I think Jerry White might have been the funniest guy I ever been with, period. Not just player, but coach. And so I really missed him. You know, I still talk to him on a day-to-day basis. I gave him my second gold glove. He's going to will it back to my son, Torrey Jr. So if he passes away, he gives it back to my son, Torrey Jr. And, you know, just that's how much respect that I have for him. This much love I have for him. He's taught me a lot about the outfield. Reason why I have 9 gold gloves, I definitely think Jerry White has something to do with it. He gave me a lot of little nuggets here and there that actually sustained itself. And it, you know, I made some adjustments along the way, but Jerry White changed my career defensively.
Thank you for your time spent here on the Thick Skin with Hawk and Jock, Jock and Hawk show.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can get you to come on again, but before we go, we have listeners in Texas. Tell them about Tender Barbecue.
Tender Smokehouse.
Tender Smokehouse. Where it is, how many you have, and tell them to come through.
Hey, guys. You know, we have Tender Smokehouse in Salina, Frisco, and Arbery. We're working on Little Elm. We'll be open the middle of January. We're working on Whitesboro in May, June. So we have 5 locations called Tender Smokehouse Barbecue. And I think you guys should come by. We were number 2 in the nation in 2019. Best restaurant, not just barbecue, the best restaurant. And I hate being number 2. I definitely want to be number 1. So come out and check us out. We have La Finca Coffee Shop in downtown Frisco and also in Prosper. La Finca means the farm, and the coffee comes from Mexico, from the farm straight to your cup. And it's a different coffee bean. We roast it right in locally, and you're going to love it. So come out and check us out, man. We have a lot of different businesses there in Frisco, Prosper, Little Am, Salina, Frisco area.
Whitesboro.
You're going to love it. You're going to love the barbecue. I'm not a restaurant guy, but I am a barbecue guy. Totally different.
Well, thanks again, Torrey. Appreciate you coming out on the show.
T-Nuts.
Yes, sir. T-Nuts. I appreciate you guys,
Kedar,
man.
Kedar.
Appreciate you, Big Dog.
I love what you guys are doing, man. You got to have thick skin to hear what we have to say. Yep. And you can also voice your opinion. You know, I thank you guys for allowing us to have a voice, you know, opposed to someone writing a title and saying, hey, this is what it's all about. But the story doesn't actually tell what the title is. We're able to tell our title and our story right here on this podcast called Thick Skin. So I appreciate it. You got to have thick skin to listen to this podcast.
That's
so
right.
If you don't have thick skin, get off.
That's right.
Get the stepping.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
Porn, Satan, drugs, therapy. It's not just the list of what I'm up to this weekend. I'm comedian Kiki Anderson, and those are just a handful of the taboo topics I've poked and prodded at so far on my podcast, Indecent, the show where we peel at the wallpaper of polite society. Each episode digs into the dark underbelly of our culture to dissect the things we aren't allowed to talk about around the dinner table, featuring conversations with comedians, activists, journalists, academics. They all help me figure out the who, what, and why behind what is and isn't acceptable behavior. Indecent with Kiki Anderson, where NSFW meets LMAO. Mwah.
Next Chapter Podcasts.